Today, we focus most of our attention and time on reading the scripture texts themselves and sitting with the story, the true story of Jesus' death, the crucified God. We read not only the gospel, but Psalm 22, the psalm that we see being played out in real time as they divide Jesus' clothes and cast lots for them, as they mock Jesus and encircle him like the strong bulls of Bashan and his powerful dogs, and as his mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and Jesus cries, "I am thirsty," only to be given vinegar from a sponge. And we read Isaiah 2, and we see Jesus in the body that was so marred that his appearance was beyond human semblance. We read of the one who grew up as a tender shoot, only to be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And this, friends, is our God. This is what God is like. The God we worship is not like the Babylonian god, Marduk, the god of thunder, often shown as a well-armed warrior. He is not like Ahura Mazda, the Persian god who is depicted riding a powerful war horse with a sword in his hand. Jesus rode a donkey and healed the ear of his enemy, cut by the sword of his disciple. He is not like Zeus, the one who is often depicted as standing in a threatening posture holding a thunderbolt. He rebuked his disciples who called down thunder from heaven. No, our God is not like any of these. On Good Friday, the eternal voice speaks to those willing to stay near the cross and says, "This is what your God is like." As Jürgen Moltmann says, when the crucified Jesus is called the image of the invisible God, the meaning is that this is God and God is like this. I was struck by two things in our gospel reading today. One was at the beginning of the reading and one was toward the end. The first was the moment when Judas came, guiding a detachment of soldiers along with religious leaders to Jesus. And Jesus looks at them and asks, "Who is it you want?" And at these words, all of these so-called people of power with weapons and torches in their hands drew back and they fell to the ground. And this serves to remind us that things are not always as they appear. The cross is not the moment of Jesus' weakness, but is actually the moment of Jesus' power. The crowds, the weapons, the military, and the religious sanctioned authority, all of this is an illusion. As strange as it is to our warped understanding, Jesus, who was beat with their fists, who was whipped with their whips, who was spat on with their spit and mounted on their cross and was dying in pain, this is the power of God on display, and everything else is a lie. Jesus asked them the same question again, and as if stunned by what had just happened to them, they barely seemed to notice that he had just asked them the exact same question seconds before, "Who is it that you want?" And they say the same thing again, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus says this amazing thing here. He says, "I told you that I am he," and that they managed to stay on their feet this time. But now he adds, "If you are looking for me, then let these go." And this happened, we're told, to fulfill what Jesus said in John 6 that I have not lost one of those you gave me. This is astounding, because the ones that Jesus will not lose are the ones who will purposely lose Jesus as quickly as they can because they realize what is happening. Twice, Jesus, when he's being confronted, says, I am he, when he knows that they've come for blood. Three times, when Peter is asked if he is a disciple of Jesus, says, I am not. The ones that Jesus will not lose are the ones who, like Peter, do not respond, I am he, like Jesus, but rather, I am not he, when asked if they are friends of Jesus. But even in betrayal and at his most vulnerable moment, Jesus says, I will not lose one of these. The other thing that caught my attention happens just before Jesus' death, when he is hanging on the cross. Well, most are long gone and have abandoned him. The women and John remain, and they watch the unwatchable. John watches the crucifixion of his friend. More terrible still, Mary watches the crucifixion of her son. But somehow Jesus gathers enough strength to look at them and to speak. And the text reads, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus would not only not lose one of his own, he wouldn't let them lose each other either. To his mother, he presents John and says, here is your son. And to John, he presents his mother and says, here is your mother. And John, from that moment on, took care of Mary as if Mary were his own mother. And this, sisters and brothers, is your God. What is God like? We look at the man of sorrows and we see no violence, no retaliation, but we do see power. And what does power look like? It looks like a man suffering in a way so unimaginable to us, yet who says to those who betray him, I will not lose even one of these who have left my side when I needed them most. And who also says, neither will I let these who did stay by my side lose each other, because in my kingdom nothing is lost, for I came to seek and to save that which is lost. So I don't know where you find yourself on this Good Friday as we come at last face to face with the cross. Hear the good news. Whether you've betrayed Jesus or you've stayed by him, he refuses to lose any one of you. For none of us are healed by our own self-determination. We are healed by his wounds. This is your God. Behold the man.